We thank you so much for being a part of our service today. I want to preach to you just a little bit, and I know we've heard perhaps about every Easter message that you could possibly have heard, but hopefully it'll be from a little different perspective, although it's always the same. But I'm glad he has risen. Amen. Jesus was born so that he could die. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 7 and 8, as you stand for the reading of God's Word. I want you to listen real closely. As we get into the Easter message, I want you to understand that this is not like just any Easter Sunday. We went through a lot the last 16 months. But more than that, we are closer to the coming of the Lord right now than we ever have been in our lives. Now, wait a minute. Let me justify that. He said he was coming up out of the grave, and he did. He said he was coming back, and he will. So if you're kidding yourself and you're procrastinating and you're putting off making sure that everything's all right between you and the Savior, rest assured, don't delay. He's coming back. He's coming back. So as I bring the message that God has laid on my heart today, be attentive to every word that God is speaking to our hearts, that we might be prepared when he returns, because he's coming back. Amen. I was thinking, today we celebrate his resurrection out of the grave. Tonight we may be in the holies of holies celebrating homecoming. Wouldn't that be all right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be all right?
Amen.
Glory to God. So in Isaiah chapter 53, beginning verse 7, very familiar passage of Scripture reads like this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. That does not mean that he was ignorant. It means that he submitted to those that was fixing to slay him. He opened not his mouth. I want to read that part again. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. He came to those, he'd already told his disciples that he was going to suffer these things, and they couldn't quite grasp it. But I want you to know, he was brought before the slaughter, as he was not even suspecting anything that was happening. He was brought to them as he knew nothing was happening, yet he opened not his mouth, as knowing all things. Did you get that? He submitted as if he knew nothing, but he knew everything that was going on. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And might I add, as Gentiles, he grafted us in to his plan. Heavenly Father, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you, Almighty God, that we can stand here today and beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know that we know that we know that you are our resurrected King and you are our resurrected Lord, and that you're coming back after your people without spot or wrinkle. Lord, let our hearts and our lives, Lord, look to you, Lord, and make sure that our redemption is secure and sound when you come. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 6 says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. This is prophecy of what is going to happen to the Lamb of God. I did hide my face from mocking and spitting. I want to assure you that that which was spoken by the prophets came true in the life of Christ, So therefore, I bid you today to recognize and to know that when He said He's coming back, He's coming back. He was born to die. He died and is coming back after His people. Christ was born to free us from sin. He paid the price of sin and our transgressions that was against God, the Father, and of our Creator. He paid that ultimate price. Christ was born to free us from our sins and from death itself. In Romans chapter 8, chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." All of this time, when He was born in the manger in Bethlehem, He knew that He knew that He knew that He was born that He might die. And He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We like to know if we do something for somebody, and our generation is perhaps even a little bit more so, that if we do something for somebody, we want to make sure we're getting something in return. Can I get an amen or oh me? We like to know that we're getting something in return. If we make an investment, we want to get the best return that we possibly can. Amen. Amen. We desire to get a return on our investment. Yet Christ Himself was born in a manger, died upon a cruel cross of Calvary, without any guarantee that there would be anyone that would secure the price that He paid for you and for me. There was a ransom that was paid that was from the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world, and yet He died not having any guarantee of a return upon His investment. What an awesome price. What an awesome price. I want you to understand today, there may be some here today that you have struggled with depression. Perhaps there's some of you here today that your hearts have been broken. You've been hurting because of sickness, because of loss of loved one, because of a loss of a relationship. But I just come by to tell you today, is it all right that I just come by to tell you today? I know this is Easter, and I know that it's very hard to concentrate when you got all those sweet stuff in the foyer. I understand that. But listen to me just for a moment, church. He was born that He might die, that He might take away your sins that you should have been upon the cross. He healed us by His death and crucifixion. He healed us physically. He healed us mentally. And He healed us spiritually. He demonstrated. Somebody say demonstrated. He demonstrated His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He come to heal us physically, mentally, and spiritually. He come that to mend our brokenness. When we are broken and we are torn apart, He come to heal our brokenness. He demonstrated His love toward us. Can I tell you today that the God that I serve through His Son Jesus Christ specializes in putting broken things back together and broken lives. He specializes in putting broken lives back together. He came to demonstrate His love toward us, and He comforted us in our hurting and in our pain. Whether it be physically, whether it be spiritually, whether it be in a relationship, He demonstrated His love toward us. Are you listening to me this morning, church? It does not matter what your circumstances of life is. He nailed it to the cross that you might benefit from His sacrifice. Let me tell you again, He nailed it to the cross. Whatever you're experiencing, He nailed it to the cross that you might benefit from His suffering. He come to comfort the hurting. He becomes so familiar. I said He becomes so familiar with His pain that He might comfort you in your pain. Oh my. You know, again, I know this is Easter Sunday morning, but some of this deserves a little bit better amens than what you're giving on. Not because I said it, because it's true. Glory. If you see someone next to you nodding off, just reach over and shake them hard enough that it breaks their hairpiece. Tell them to wake up. This is good stuff. Did you hear what I said, church? He came to demonstrate His love toward us, to comfort us when we're hurting. He became so familiar with His pain that He might comfort you in your pain. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." This was also prophesied over in Isaiah, and he repeats it in the book of Luke with His own words. He said, He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive." Did you hear it? To heal the brokenhearted, to bring and preach deliverance to the captive, and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to those that are bruised. Can I repeat myself again? All those things that you're experiencing, He nailed it to the cross in His suffering so that you might benefit from what He has for you. Christ was born to die. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, "But we seek Jesus, who was made lower," but we see Jesus, "who was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for His suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Can I tell you that He experienced all that? That He was betrayed? So that He would know how you feel when you're treated, mistreated, or betrayed. Slide number 2, please. He was betrayed. So He would know how you feel when you was mistreated and betrayed. He was arrested so He would understand your bondage to our sins and our habits. His garment was gambled for so He would know how Satan bargained for your soul. Can I tell you right now that there's some sitting in the sanctuary today that's been exactly where those pictures are. That's the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And in that Church of Nativity, it has been surrounded by a great Ephesus. But I want you to know where it marks the birth of Jesus Christ. That baby is no longer there. They do not celebrate that a baby is still there. They celebrate that a baby was there. Those of you that have been there recognize those pictures that I put up on the slideshow. You recognize that place where they say that He was born, where that place represents the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And He did it all for us, and He recognized being born to die, and He was betrayed so He'd know how He would feel. He was arrested so He would understand our bondage. They barred for His garment so He knew the feeling of how Satan bargained for our soul. Is anybody understanding and getting anything that I'm saying? Yes. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ born to die that you and I might benefit from His love. Yes. Psalms chapter 22 verse 18, it was prophesied, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Do you understand today how Satan is bargaining for your soul? He does not care. He may send somebody that is a bad influence that will not allow you to get past where you're at. He may throw things in your way like riches and fame. He may throw things in your way like way too busy or a prosperous job that gets in your way of what Christ really wants you to be. Can I tell you today, Satan does not care how he captivates you. But he is gambling for your soul with everything that is within him. He desires to take you down. Why? Because we are created in the image and the likeness of God. And every time
time you crawl out of bed in the morning and you stand up upon your feet and you give praise to God, you remind Satan that you was made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And the Son of God went to the cross to elevate Himself that you might experience the blessings of what He done for you. He was betrayed, so He'd know how you felt when you was mistreated and betrayed. He was arrested because He knew how you felt through the sin that captivates you and the habits that overwhelm you. They gambled for His garments, and He knew how Satan bargains for your soul. Number three, He was abandoned by all, so He too knew how you feel when you're alone and forsaken. I've had a lot of people tell me, I just feel so alone. Even sometimes when I pray, I just feel so alone. Can I tell you, He was abandoned by everyone. Everyone. So He'd know how you feel when you're there. He was mocked, so He knows what it's like being made fun of. And what it feels like. He knows what the suffering, humiliation. He was experiencing all of that because He knew where you would be. He was an overcomer. There's not a one of us that likes the feeling of being alone. There's not a one of us that likes being made fun of. I know what that experience feels like personally. All through school, I was called to preach and didn't even know I was called to preach. And they're not the one that called me. But because of the life I lived, I had very few friends because they didn't want to be around me. And I'll tell you the truth, I didn't want to be around them. I wasn't a part of their partying and drinking crowd. And I was not ashamed to let them know that. But Christ, still yet, when you're pushed aside and you're made fun of and you're humiliated, it doesn't feel real good, but Christ suffered all of that so you would know. He was beaten that He might understand the brutal attacks that Satan comes against us. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, man, the devil's just beat me up all day long, bless His holy name, but I'll just go on for God. Have I preached you all to sleep already? He was beaten. So He would know and understand how we feel when Satan attacks us. And we feel beat down. We feel defeated. Oh, but thanks be to God, we are victors, more than victors, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was beaten so He'd understand the ruthless bombardments that Satan comes against us. He was crucified for all, for the reason of our pardon. He was born to die to set us free. And these pictures that I have on the board right now, again, some of you will understand and realize and recognize those pictures. But the top left-hand corner is actual pictures of the Garden of Gethsemane. They're in Jerusalem. We stood there as we looked at the olive tree that was perhaps alive when Jesus knelt there in the garden. That's how old olive trees get. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed till His sweat became as great drops of blood. The picture at the top right, it is a picture looking across the Kidron Valley and up the mountain to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus walked from there down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's in the middle where is the Eastern Gate. As you stand at the feet, the feet of the Garden of Gethsemane and you look eastward, you'll see the Mount of Olives. If you look westward, you'll see the Eastern Gate that is facing the Mount of Olives. Isn't that awesome? I thank God and I'm privileged that I was able to be there, and several of you that was able to be there. But Christ walked that ground. Amen. He struggled. And I want you to know the trip from the Mount of Olives down into the streets of Jerusalem and to the Garden of Gethsemane is about like that. And by the time you get to the bottom, you feel like your toes is pushing out the front of your shoe. That's how steep it is. And yet Christ and His disciples, I figured out that's why they wore sandals back in those days. Because I already wore out the toes of them. You guys are tough. Born to die. To set us free. You know, not only did those around about Him, His disciples, ran, they refused to recognize Him and stand up for Him and testify for Him. But in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 says, "And about the ninth hour, that being about 3:00 in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' as to say, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" He understood the torture of that. Number four, He understood the torture of that. These pictures, again, and perhaps you can't see them as good as I'd really like for you to, but we walked down the corridor there, Pilate's corridor, where they felt like that they found Pilate's courtroom where he was. We walked down that corridor, very narrow passageway there inside. You must understand the Via Dolorosa is not just a song. It's not just a slogan. It's a real place, and there's different places along the way that's numbered that tells of the different things that happened to Jesus as he walked up that road. That road is not elevated as much as from the Mount of Olives down into the city. It's not elevated as much, but I want you to know carrying a heavy cross is excruciating. It seemed like forever it took us to get from the bottom to the top. It was excruciating, church. And to think that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the midst of it all, carried a cross down or up the hill, the Via Dolorosa, that He might give us. I don't know about you, but as the Son of God, I can see very, very, very clearly by what He had already gone through, throwing it down and said, This ain't fair. This ain't enough. They ain't worth it. They ain't worth it. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He kept grudging on as He carried His cross. And He said, "I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it because they are worth it. It is my blood that's going to set them free." My blood that's going to set them free. Christ proclaimed as He walked every step up that Via Dolorosa. He proclaimed His love to a lost and a dying world. Him at church. I said every step that He took, every lash upon His back, every nail that went into His flesh, He demonstrated the love of God to a lost and a dying world. And He said, "I care, and I'm going to pay the price. They need to pay it, but they can't pay it, but I'll pay it." Only the blood of the Son of God could pay such a price. Amen. Jesus proclaimed, "5, it is finished." And He proclaimed, "But in 3 days I will rise again. In 3 days I will rise again." And I want you to look very, very closely as He was hanging upon that cross. In Luke chapter 1, verses 49 and 50, it says that He mighty hath done to me great things. Well, I got ahead of myself. Sorry about that. We'll do it anyway. We'll go from there, okay? Sorry, scratch that. Christ proclaimed that it is finished. He rose. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He repossessed. Somebody say repossessed. The keys of the authority of man's souls. Did you get that? He repossessed the keys over the authority of man's soul. He is our king over all things, and all things become subject to Him. He is our redeemer that has liberated us. And You ready for this? He not only liberated us, but through His blood and resurrection, He liberated us and He validated His claim on His people. Wow, that ought to have every one of us shouting, it's covered in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, our Redeemer, He liberated us. He validated our relationship with Him. And He lives to give us life here. More important, He gives us life over there. This life is only temporary. I think the biggest things and obstacle in our life is we get the feeling like that this life is eternal. This life is from now on. But can I tell you today that this life is only temporary. The life that is to come is eternal. We need to understand that we're only here for a time. And this will pass away. But what we need to seek for is that life that is eternal. He lives. He lives to give us life here. But more important, the life that He gives us up there. He is the Mighty One. Mary proclaimed what God has done in her. She added that we are equal because what Christ has done. Luke 1:49 and 50 says, for that He is mighty, hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He has cleansed us with His blood. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Lisa, if you don't care, let's flip back to number 5. There's a couple of things I want to point out. And I'll read that scripture here in just a moment. But I want you to note something that was pointed out to us. You remember Luke proclaimed that it was the place of the skull. And part of this is theory and part of it makes so much sense of where He was crucified. But you'll see on the backdrop in those mountains, it does look like a skull, and that is most recent. When we was there, it was most recent. And those places of the skull, it does look like in the face of that mountain there is a skull. So it makes a lot of sense when Luke says it's the place of the skull where He was crucified. But I want you to know there was no more crucifixion. Fiction that was there. It was gone. It was in the past. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of person, this is talking about you. This is this congregation. He's talking about you. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. We don't have to worry about fear here. Fear will grip our hearts and keep us from what God wants us to be. Material things. Church, what Christ did for us, material things could not pay. Material things could not pay. It was only through the blood of Jesus Christ could pay such a supreme price. For as much, verse 18, as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received ye tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. You know what that's saying? He was born to die. He was born to die. Who was verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these times for you. Somebody say, that's for me. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Your faith and your hope might be in God. Yeah. Number 6. He is risen from the dead. The tomb and the grave is empty.
Yes. Yes.
I said the tomb and the grave is empty. Yeah. Again, I am so thankful. Just up on the higher plateau from the grave where Jesus was put in the tomb, I was able to preach a short sermon just before we entered into the tomb. Church, can I tell you, with excitement and exuberation, along with these others that got to go with us, I was in the tomb and there isn't anybody there. Say, well, there might be somebody else's tomb. It was recorded. They went in the tomb and he wasn't there. And it was recorded that his garment that he was buried in was folded neatly, laid in its place.
I just got to tell you this. This is perhaps one of my very favorite Easter stories concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They said that his grave clothes was folded neatly in place. Hallelujah. We've been there, Sister Brenda. He wasn't there. Hallelujah. Brother Rodney, Brother Larry, your wives, who was there. The grave was empty, but they was, when they went in, the disciples went in, the grave clothes was neatly folded in place. In Hebrew tradition, the napkin that covered Jesus' face, that napkin represented something. In the Hebrew tradition, when you're eating at a Hebrew table, and you get up to go somewhere, get a drink of water or whatever, or fill up the pitcher with water, you take your napkin. If you're not finished eating lamb and grits, okay, whatever they was eating, probably lamb, and you get up from the table, and you're not finished eating, you're coming back, you lay your napkin on top of your plate because it signifies you're coming back. If you're finished, it's neatly folded and put beside your plate. Yeah. Can I tell you today, it was finished. Yeah. But his napkin on his that had covered his face wasn't neatly folded like the rest because he said, I'm coming back. Yeah. I just come by to tell you today, church, that grave is empty. I've been there. I went inside. He's not there. He is risen from the grave. And he's coming back just exactly like he said. And again, all those prophecies that I've told you this morning, that tells of his birth and what he's going through his crucifixion, it has all come to pass. And I just come by to tell you today that don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. But keep the faith, child of God. He's coming back just exactly like he said he was. If those prophecies was true of his birth, what he experienced, they're true of him coming back. I'm concluding. He is risen from the dead. The tomb, the grave is empty. Luke 24, 1 through 8. And again, I'll try to hurry. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano if you'd like, just to be ready. Sister Lisa, when I get through, given the invitation, I'd like for you to play the beginning of the service again on resurrection. But Luke said, and now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing spices that they had prepared and certain other things. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed, therefore, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, even what yet in when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hand of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Somebody say, the third day. And they remembered his words. 7. Can I tell you, church, today he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Why do you seek the living among the dead? John said, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me never dies. Believes thou this? Just to let you know, he come out by that grave. In verse 26 of John chapter 11, it said, and whosoever, that means me, that means you, that means those that are on the far side of the world,
world, that means souls that are in third world country, that means souls that are so far back in the jungle, you can't even find them from here. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, believest thou this, he says? Can I tell you, church, he made it personal. He made it personal. He did it for all. He did it for you. It is a personal relationship. And he is worthy to be praised. All of these things that he done. All of these things that he done. He did it for you. And it made it personal. Church, he is worthy to be praised. As we sung and worship and praise the Lord this morning, he is worthy. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. When these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat upon the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were made. They are and they were made. So I ask you today, and I give you a challenge. How's your relationship with Jesus? Are you really thankful for the price that he paid for you to redeem you? Are you touched by the love that he had and all that he'd done? From the manger to the cross and everything in between, I ask you today, if you have not accepted him, won't you do it today? No greater time than Easter Sunday morning, 2021. Is there time for you? Yes, there is. And I want to encourage you that Jesus is waiting with arms wide open to welcome you. As she plays this video, those of you that are on the visitation team, pray for those. I want you to come and stand in front of this altar. And as she plays this video, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an invitation to come make him Lord and Savior of your life. If you've grown cold in your soul and there's just something that's not right, if you hold a grudge or you're upset or you don't know why you are like you are, I want you to know Jesus Christ took it all for you. Mr. Lisa, pray for you. Waiting on you because we love you and Jesus loves you more. So anyone else, anyone wants to come and accept Jesus Christ, there are those here waiting to pray for you and pray for you.
Bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Lord, our words are not sufficient to thank you for all that you have done. Lord, I make my plea today. Lord, that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that they will not leave without making you Lord and Savior for their life. I know we seem like we've got so many things to do. Easter is a special family time, but nothing's more important or greater than you, Lord. You are the creator of our families. You are the creator of our life. Jesus, you are the redeemer of our life. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed to give you one more time an opportunity to come and make your calling, your election sure, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is there one? I'm going to wait for just a moment. Jesus loves you and he cares for you. Is there one? Father God, I love and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and concern. Touch your people. Keep us all safe under the blood of Jesus, Lord. As we look and long for your return, we give you praise and glory and honor. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock. We thank you. We give you praise in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Easter afternoon.